Okay. Well, I don't know, but I think we already had our sermon for today. With the song that we had, one of the songs that we sang, that the sun with his gleam and the moon, it praises God. The sun is up there and it obeys God. Have you heard the birds sing in the morning? So if they praise God, shouldn't we? And we need to praise God. Another thing is what we heard about, JCPenney's. That's a good store. I like it. I mean, you know, I guess I'm prejudiced right there, but I really like that store. And I'm glad to know the story, the background of that. But let's go into what we're going to do is we're going to look at a man. This man is in the Bible. And we're going to go through some scriptures because it's Father's Day. And I figure if it's a man that God chose, then we ought to talk about him. I haven't never really heard any sermons about him, but he is there. No, he's not a prophet and all that kind of stuff, but he is there. And he's going to show us what will happen if we do things right. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 21. Now this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her publicly in disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. We're going to stop there for a second because she was pledged. The word pledged, I mean, now we use it as engagement, but, and now, you know, they were engaged, but you know what, they had a fight, now they're not engaged anymore, you know, and, oh, now they're engaged again, you know, but anyway, but, in the Jewish, it wasn't like that. In the Jewish, it wasn't like that, because once you were engaged, it was, let's find out what the word engagement means. And it's an agreement, it's a promise, it's a guarantee, it's an undertaking, that's a good one, it's an oath. In other words, it's not something that is taken lightly to be engaged to the person. And it actually has to have a divorce. Okay, that is something. And the title of this message is Father, Accept Your Place. Fathers have to accept your place. And if you read this in the NIV, it says that Jesus accepted Jesus as his son. Okay, as we know, Joseph is not the father of this of Jesus. He's the earthly father, yes, but his father is his heavenly father, and Jesus knows that. Let's go on with this. Because after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what she has conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. Okay, here's Joseph right here. We're talking about Joseph, and we're talking about Joseph had the right, because Mary was found pregnant, and he knew that they had not come together yet. And yes, the Bible talks about him as her as a wife and him as a husband, because once they were engaged, that's what they were referred to as. Okay, so at this point, They're referred to as the husband and wife, but the marriage has not been consecrated at this time. There's about a year in between. Once you get engaged, there's a year before that happens. So in between this time, he considered this. But look at the scriptures. We're going to have to look at the scriptures. Where was it here? Okay. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. Hold that in your thought, because we're going to come back to that a lot. He was faithful to the law, so he knew what steps he had to be taken. But he didn't want to do it. He was a just man, and he didn't want to do it publicly. Let's go on to the next scripture as we go on through this. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. He took Mary into his house as his wife. Okay, he did. This man, Joseph, who we're talking about, did what God asked him to, what the angel of the Lord told him to, and he trusted God and took Mary into his house. As we continue to follow Joseph, let's go. Then, if we follow this more, lack of time, you know that Jesus was born, and right here it says that Joseph named him Jesus. That was a step of the Father had for him to do that. Now we're gonna go to Luke chapter 2, verse 22-24. When the time came of the purification rite required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem and presented him before the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and an offering of sacrifice is in keeping with what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Okay, so again, Joseph took him. Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem and presented him to the Lord. He kept the laws. He kept the way that it was supposed to go. Okay, and this was done because this is what he believed in, and this is what was required. So as we continue to follow Joseph's life, we're going to follow Joseph's life because it's important that we have a good example of what a good father will do. It's important for a father to do what is right, what is required from the law. He's required for him to know the law. He's required to know the law of the land and also the law of the Lord, which is a higher law. Okay. That, and we're still in Luke, but we're going to jump down to, because you know that when they took him to the temple, Simeon was there, and so was Mary, and they prophesied over him and like that. We're going to skip that, but they took him back. Then Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their town of Nazareth. And if you read on to that, it says that the prophet would be fulfilled, that they called him a Nazarene. Okay, so Joseph is continuing to do what is required, what is right. It's important for fathers, and that could go for mothers, it's important for us to do what is right in the sight of God. Okay, we're going to see the end of this. The end of this is good. Because, well, let's not put the horse, the cart before the horse. Okay, anyway. Okay, now we're going to go back to Matthew. Let's go back to Matthew. Okay, oh, wait, we got it. This, we're going to go back to Matthew, because now we're following. Jesus was born. They took him to the temple. So he's a little bit older now, about 8 days. He's still an infant. Okay, and they went back. But before we get into this, now we're going to go when he Again, the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph again. But I have to read this piece right here. Because, you know, the wise men? You know, the wise men were looking for Jesus. They saw a star. It took them, what, several years before they were able to? Because they didn't have, you know, they didn't have cars at that time or airplanes at that time. They came by camel, and camels walk slow. They're faithful, but they walk slow. But anyway, look what it says right here. I have it underlined in my Bible. If you want to see it, it's right there. It's underlined. But when I saw it, look. Don't get excited. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem. Can you imagine this little baby can disturb a king? But not only a king, he can disturb all of Jerusalem. Oh, isn't that awesome? Isn't that Jesus starting trouble as a baby? I mean, he had just started trouble everywhere. But he's able to. I mean, it's just amazing. But let's go back to the scripture. I want to stay on the scripture. Okay. Let's go back to this, because the wise men came to look for him. They told Herod that they wanted to know where this baby was, that it was born king of the Jews, and that's when King Herod got upset, and all Jerusalem got upset. Okay, so now the king told him to make a long story short, so I don't read the whole thing, told him, go look for him, and when you find him, come back and let me know, because I want to go worship him. That is a good example of a liar. Sorry, but, or a deceiver. You can put another word on there, deceiver, because he said he was going to go worship him, but he wasn't going to go, hey, if I'm king, this is going to get, that's, get rid of him so I can still stay king, you know what I mean? So anyway, let's go on. Okay. When they had gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. Oh, my goodness. This is a man of God. The angel of the Lord always appears to him in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Okay, he said, get up. He didn't say, wait till the morning or after you finish dreaming or after you have your cup of coffee. You know, take a shower and then take it. He says, get up. He says, get up and take the child to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child, and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. It was during the night. In other words, this man again did what God told him when he told him to do it. Because if he would have waited till the morning after he took a shower, after he had his cup of coffee, honey, you know, I had a dream last night and, you know, maybe danger is going to come. I kind of feel it in my spirit. I mean, it might have been too late. You know, come on, get up, let's go. Right now, in the middle of the night. So during the night, they escaped. And because this man did what was right. We have a good ending to this story. And that ending is for our benefit. Okay, so he did. They escaped into Egypt. Okay. We're still in Matthew chapter 2, and we're in verse 19 to 23. After Herod died, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in Egypt. This tells us that he was told to go to Egypt, and the angel of the Lord found him in Egypt, exactly where God had told him to be. He was exactly doing, and he did exactly what God told him to do. It doesn't say he found him somewhere else. He found him. It says the Lord appeared to him in a dream to Joseph in, oh, wait. That doesn't make no sense. The angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. There you go. Now that sounds better. Okay, so he found him where he was supposed to. Get up. Oh, my goodness. God likes to wake us up. Get up. Get up. Take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who were trying to take the child's life, are dead. Okay, they took. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. Okay, but in that, as he was going there, again in a dream, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and he was afraid, and he went to live in the town of Nazarene. So was fulfilled that was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. And Jesus was called a Nazarene. Now we're going to follow Joseph one more time. This is another thing that as we continue to follow what Joseph has done, we're going back to Luke chapter 2, verse 41 to 43. Every year, Jesus' parents means the mother and the father, went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the customs. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were not aware. When his parents saw him, they went to look for him. They went to look for him because they thought that he was with some of the relatives or some of the friends that were in as they were going back. They couldn't find him. So they searched for him for 3 days. They looked and they looked for him. But let's see what happens. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son," oh, it's 10 o'clock, "why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have..." Sorry, I put that. That's my alarm to tell me to... Okay. Why have you treated us like this? Okay. Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been searching for you. Why are you searching? Jesus says, "Why are you searching for me?" He said, "Don't you know I want to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying. This tells us two things. Jesus knew who his real father was. But at this time, Mary and Joseph didn't quite understand what was going on. Jesus' heart was what his father's heart was. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and obeyed and was obedient to them. And his mother treasured all these things in his heart. And Joseph grew with wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. Okay. Because all this was done, I gotta close this up because it's already late. Because of how Joseph did everything,
right. The end of the story comes out right. As we know the end of the story, yes, he was born in order to die. But he didn't get killed here. He was in the right place at the right time. Because of the parents he had, because of the father that he had, the father got him up. The father took him and his mother, and they went to Egypt. They took him to the temple. Everything was done right. And what happened? Jesus came, he died for us, and it says, he obeyed them and he stood there, he grew. There was the whole thing, you could see the whole thing. And if not, we wouldn't have salvation today, but we do. Because of this story, we have salvation today. We have a hope for tomorrow. We're only pilgrims passing through. But I want to leave you with this. Let's see. And this is in Ephesians. And this is in the Amplified Version because it really gives us a more insight. I really like this. Father, do not provoke your children to anger. And in the King James, that's what it says. Father, don't provoke your children to anger. Okay, but right here it gives us a detail. Do not
exasperate
them. There you go. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial. Sometimes we do that as parents. Go give me this. Go give me that. Sometimes we need to get up and do it. Or find a way to have it done. Okay? Or unreasonable. Do not humiliate them. Do not abuse them. Nor show favoritism or difference in any to any of them. But bring them up in tenderly and loving kindness, in discipline and instruction of the Lord. This gives us more detail of how we need to do this. And raising children is one of the hardest jobs you're going to have. There's two hard jobs in our life. And one is a marriage and one is having children. Because even if you have two children, five children, 10 children, they're all different. They're all different. So I want to leave you with that. I want to leave you with God, help us to do it right. And yes, when you think back, because I can think back. My children, my oldest one is what, 52 years old, something like that? But anyway, I can see things that I've done wrong. Things that I could have done better, whether it be for the girl or the boy. You know what I mean? I could look back. And I think as parents, we could all look back and say, I could have made a better choice. And some of the choices, that one I did right. But in some of the things, we could have done better. So, Father God, we come before you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, and we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for what you're doing, my Father God. We thank you, Father God, as we continue to raise our children, Lord God. And, Lord God, even if they're adults, Lord God, they still come to us, Father God, and sometimes ask us for advice, Lord God. They ask us for prayer, Lord God. Help us to, Lord God, give us wisdom to answer them correctly and right, my Father God. Lord God, I pray, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, to help us, Father God, direct our children, my Father God. Help us, Father God, even children that are around us, Father God. I pray, Father God, right now. And Lord God, I pray, Father God, for grandparents, Father God, because, Lord, there are grandparents that are raising their grandchildren that shouldn't be, Lord God. But give them wisdom and give them understanding, Father God. Lord God, because grandparents, Lord God, would just spoil the kids, Lord God. And Lord God, sometimes that is not good, Lord God. Lord God, I pray, Father God, I know that grandparents are not supposed to be disciplinary, but Lord God, if they're raising their children, their grandchildren, Lord God, there has to be a discipline there, my Father God. Lord God, I pray, Father God, right now, my Father God, help us to do this right, my Father God. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, for your wisdom, Father God. Lord God, for your wisdom, for your strength, for your knowledge, my Father God. In Jesus' name.
And Lord, I pray also for mothers, because there are mothers that fathers are not there. And they're the fathers, Lord God. I lift them up also, Father God. Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.